Dear Heavenly Father, we are so honored this evening to have this occasion once more, to be able to have the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, proclaimed unto us. We are thankful, Lord, for the many blessings of heaven you continue to bestow upon us. We pray, Lord, that in this occasion tonight, that our hearts are open to be able to receive with meekness your engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. We pray, Lord, tonight that Brother Ellaby teach unto us the love that you have for us, the great love you have for us, in sending your Son to die here in our stead because of the sins we have committed in our lives, though he was sinless. Lord, we are thankful for the opportunity for someone to hear the gospel tonight, Lord. We pray that they follow along in their own Bibles to examine the scriptures for themselves, to see if what Brother Ellaby will proclaim are so. Lord, we know that there is only one way that man can be saved, and pray that Brother Ellaby stand bold and break unto us the bread of life on how every soul can be saved by obeying the gospel and living faithful unto death. Thankful for the Church of Christ, that blood-bought institution, the kingdom of your dear Son that still reigns and will forever reign. In Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. Just want to say to everyone on the call, we're very thankful to have you on the call tonight. Now, for those who are not members of the Church of Christ, you are a very honored and special guest of our audience. And we pray now you'll take your Bible and open it up and follow along with our speaker tonight. Tonight, our speaking in person, Brother Tim Ellaby, he's been on our program, I think this is the third time for the gospel meeting, and he always has a unique approach to teaching a basic truth. He's from Concord, North Carolina, preaching the gospel since 1988, married 30 years, three adult children, one son-in-law, one grandson. So glad to have him back on our call tonight, Brother Ellaby. We'll sign to you for God So Loved the World. This week, we're speaking about love. What you got on for us tonight? Tell us.
Good evening, everyone, and it's so good to be here. I want to point out just one thing. One of my classmates reached out to me. Tommy brought up 1988. I think that's the first time I preached the gospel. But a classmate saw the advertisement for the gospel call. Her husband is a gospel meeting. And I did not realize that she had obeyed the gospel since our college days. And I want to say hello to Brother and Sister Johnson. And I believe they're in McKinney, Texas. So good to hello to them. And also to my wonderful wife and my children and my Aunt Liz in Baltimore, Maryland, who is in her 90s. So let me get started here. I've been given the subject, For God So Loved the World. In Genesis chapter 3, we find Eve having a conversation with the serpent in the garden. And most of us know how that story ends. God had given them a place in the garden and given them some instructions and some commands. And basically the devil lied to Eve, and Adam followed suit, and they violated God's command, and sin was brought into the world, and death as a result of that sin or consequence of that sin. When we get to the Bible tells us that sin separates us from God, Isaiah 9 and 52. And as a result of that sin that separates us from God, we are without hope and without God in the world when we're in that sinful state, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 12. But thank God for the verse that most of us are familiar with, John chapter 3 and verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's just amazing to me when I look at the story of the love that God had for us, how mankind has so much hate in his heart. You don't have to look very far to see examples of this hate. And it doesn't shock me because Jesus talks about man not understanding this as we look at darkness and how it can't comprehend the light in John chapter 1 and verse number 5. But we still see God's love and man's hate. You can speak to people and you can just hear the hate in their hearts. Husbands hating wives, wives hating husbands, children hating parents. And you know, we look at our world, we hate people hating each other because of the color of their skin. People are hating each other because of their economic situation. People just hating. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, the only thing that can heal that kind of hate is the love of God. I was just sitting in my office one day, and I got a call from the nursing home facility that my father is in, and they give you a call on updates of what's happening. And, you know, life is bad enough with this pandemic and all of the things that people have to deal with. And you have this facility. I've gotten to know some of the caregivers and those people that really care. They really don't do the job for money. They care about those patients. And there's one nurse that we got to know, and her care for my father, which was extraordinary. You know, this lady's going to work braving through the pandemic and all those things, and her husband gets angry with her, follows her to work, and shoots her dead in the parking lot while she's going to try to care for someone who can't care for themselves. The only thing that can cure that kind of hate is love. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 5, in verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And brothers and sisters, that was all of us. And especially for those of us who have, those of us on this call who have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, Christ died for you as well and died for all of us who have already obeyed the gospel. But he died for us. But he died while we were still in our sins. And the Bible says this, and as we talk about love and we talk about what Christ did. You look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 8, the Bible says, and above all these things, he says, have fervent love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Without the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross, our sins can't be covered. Romans 5, 7, the Bible says, for scarcely for a righteous man one will die. Yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. See, mankind places conditions on the love by which they would sacrifice themselves. But the Bible says, but God demonstrate his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through sin. For anyone that doesn't believe in the cross, they don't believe or they don't understand that there is a hell that Christ is saving us from. So if you don't believe in hell, you don't believe in the cross, because Jesus Christ went to the cross to save us from wrath. So everybody who's starting to say that there is no hell or hell doesn't exist, they're saying that Jesus didn't die on the cross, because the purpose was that to save us from that wrath. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. And we're going to talk about how to access that reconciliation a little more later. He says, much more having been reconciled, we have been saved by his life. Not only that, but we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now been, we've now received the reconciliation. Now, this is important, because if you read through these passages, you understand that this is written to those that have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, have been added to his church, this doesn't apply to you yet. But Lord willing, when we're done, you'll see the need to ask, what must I do to be saved? And respond to the Savior's invitation. Do we really understand the sacrifice Christ made, what he did in order for us to be saved? what he suffered. If you look at the time before the cross, you can see that he was exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Mark chapter 14, verses 34. His agony was so great that that blood came through as sweat, but it was blood that came through his pores, Luke chapter 22 and verse 44. He received a beating called the scourging that was so brutal, Mark 15:15. It is said that the beating that was normally administered by the Romans was used, there was a whip that was used, and it was bones and metal was tied through the thongs of that whip. And from what we are to understand, that after receiving that whip, the skin and the back was torn from Jesus' back, and he suffered immensely. He lost a great deal of blood as a result of that whipping. They placed a crown of thorns in his head, and these are not just those rose thorns. They placed a crown of thorns in his head all the way through to his skull. Mark 15, verse 17. They slapped, spat on him, mocked him. Mark 15, 19. And then they nailed him to the cross. Luke 23, 33. As I read about it, they said that those spikes that the Roman soldiers used to nail someone to a cross were usually 5 to 7 inches long and might have various different ideas about that. But regardless, that is torturous, and those spikes would have been driven through his wrists and through his feet. But guess what he did? After that suffering, let me just show you the love of God. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And as he's saying, forgive them, they're dividing his garments and casting lots. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. But there was one man that was there. He was a centurion. He was a Roman soldier. And when he saw what he saw, he glorified God, saying, certainly, this was a righteous man. Some translation says, certainly, this was the Son of God. Luke chapter 23 and verse number 47. Now that you hear that, turn, if you will, in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 7. The Bible says, beloved, let us love one another. And this is for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I just want to stop just for a moment. If we have this love, this great love that God gave us, how is it that we can hate one another? And brothers and sisters, just for a moment, it is our God-given mandate that we are to show the love of Christ, that we can draw men and women to Christ. Yet and still, sometimes we bicker and fight about things that are not consequential. Husbands and wives hating each other. Mothers and fathers hating each other, hating children, That is not something that we need to exemplify at all that should be named among the child of God. The Bible says, because he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Verse 9 of 1 John chapter 4, in this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this love, not that we that loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation or sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I just want to leave you with this thought, that God's love was so great that no matter what sin that you've committed, if you're willing to repent and obey God, He will forgive any sin. I once shared the gospel with a man, and he said to me, God could never forgive me. He could never forgive me. You don't understand what I have done. I can tell you there's a lot of us in the Lord's church today that may have thought that at one time. But if you look through the Bible, God has forgiven all that have repented and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, if you haven't done what you need to do, think about what Christ did for you. And when you think about what Christ has done for you, what God has done through His love, through His Son for you and I want you to think about this. The same Jesus who we just talked about, who loved us enough to die for us. Here's what he said. Jesus said, this same Jesus says that you and I must hear the word of God. He said that in Luke chapter 11, verse number 28, the same Jesus that died for us. He says, first thing we must do, he says, but he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. That same Jesus who died and loved us so much to die for us, he said you must believe. In Mark chapter 16, verse number 16, the Bible says, he who believes and is baptized, Jesus says, shall be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. The same Jesus who died for our sins says that we must repent. He says, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That same Jesus who died for our sins said that we must confess. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. The same Jesus who died for our sins said this. Mark chapter 16, verse number 16. That we must be baptized. He says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. The same Jesus who died for our sins said he was going to build a church, and he did. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. He says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And following up with that, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, one of his apostles that he taught and taught him to teach us all things that he's commanded him, said that you must be that all the saved would be in the church. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47. The same Jesus who died and shed that blood, he used that blood to purchase that church. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. What are you getting at, Brother Ellaby? Listen, if we're going to love Christ because he loved us, then we need to obey Christ. There are those out here that are saying today that you don't need to hear the gospel. You don't need to believe the gospel. You don't need to repent of your sins. You don't need to confess. You don't need to be baptized. You don't need to be a part of his one church to be saved. But if Jesus said it, who are we to argue with him? Can any of us go to the cross and do what Jesus did for the whole world? No, we can't. So if Jesus said all of these things, then we need to be willing to obey because he loved us so much to suffer so much for the cross. Stop arguing with God. Stop arguing with Jesus. And tonight, put him on in baptism. Obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Become a part of the church that he's died for, that he's coming back for, the only church that you can read about in the Bible, the Church of Christ, Matthew 16:18, and you can do that tonight. If you're subject to the Savior's invitation, let that be known to the brethren. Thank you, Brother Tommy. I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Thank you, Brother Ellen. We appreciate you as well. You always do a plain and simple lesson. We appreciate that so very much, for God so loved the world. I think we all got it tonight. The point is that God loved us. He did his part. His son did his part. And it's left up to us to do our part. Man, what love. What greater love, as Jesus said, had no man than this, that laid down his life for his friends. I'm so thankful to be one of his friends. And those who obey him can be a member of the Church of Christ, the church which he died for and shed his blood to purchase, as Brother Tim has told us tonight. If you're on the call tonight and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we speak the truth in love. We want you to be saved. Surely your heart ought to have been touched tonight just thinking about what the Lord went through to save your soul. And thinking about it, as he said, when the gentleman thought he had done something so bad. We're all sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And thank God that all can be saved who will obey this truth. If that's you tonight and you want to be baptized, you want to be a member of the true church, you want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, you want to be obedient to Jesus, then go ahead and get back with the person who invited you to the call and tell them you want to do so. Or if you need further Bible study, let them know that. And perhaps if that doesn't work for you, go ahead and email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will make the arrangements for you, whether it be baptism or further studies, whatever you need to save your soul, we'll help you with that. If you want to go back and listen to the message again tonight, you can go to our website at hollowheightscoc.net. That's hollowheightscoc.net. Click on Nationwide Gospel Call, and all of our sermons are there for all of our speakers and all the different topics since the month of May. So you may have some questions. We've got plenty of preachers on, lessons on there, sermons that you can hear and study for yourself. We encourage you to do so, and so that you can be saved. Let's pray to God. Father, we thank you for your blessings of life. We thank you for this day you've given us. We know it wasn't promised, but you allowed us to see it to this point, and we're thankful. We thank you for your love. You so loved us that you're willing to give your only son, your only begotten. He loved us so much that he gave his life, and we appreciate that so very much. Thank you for the blood of the cross, even though he suffered tremendously, and it was painful. We know he did it for us because sin would separate us from you. But he gave us a way to have forgiveness of sins. Our sin could be washed away, and we can receive forgiveness of sins and the remission of sins through baptism and obedience to your word. Pray for our visitors. They will hear your word tonight. They will receive it with meekness. They will obey it before it's eternally too late. Pray your blessings upon them as they consider the decision to be saved and to be obedient to your will. We thank you for Brother Tim. Pray for him and his family. And thank you for his approach to teaching your word in a very simple way. We love you, Father. We thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, another great week. Off to a great start. My own very Horace Stroud kicked us off last night. God is love tonight. His friend, Tim Ellerby, my friend. They go way back, him and Tim, Brother Stroud and Tim go way back. And he brought us God so love tonight. Tomorrow night, Brother Curtis Parker from North Carolina. If you love me, keep my commandments. And Thursday night, Brother Ricky Cook from Maryland. Love is the fulfilling of the law. And in closing us out, a new speaker for our program, Brother Clay Bond from Marvis Falls, Texas. Greater love had no man. All they're speaking about the same thing. All of them speaking about love this week. Faith, hope, and love. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 13:13. The greatest of these is love. May God bless you. Have a good night's rest. Stay warm.